But let me ask you both about this. Alien abduction. Stanton, your take.
I'm convinced that some Earthlings have been abducted by some aliens. I am not saying that anytime somebody says he's been abducted, we have to believe in. Each case has to be taken on its own merits. There's some fine work out there. I noticed that Michael refers to some of the books, a rather selective choice in his book. I hate to bring up Captured because we're going to do another show on that, I guess, George.
Yes, we are. I promised you that.
There's an excellent book, The Interrupted Journey, about the Hill case. Our new book updates that with a lot more data. Obviously, you couldn't fit in everything that was obtained back then. John Fuller did a fine job. But there was a lot more information that never made it into print. So I'm convinced some people have been abducted. And it's interesting that there was physical stuff on the car, the Hill's car, Betty's dress. This data is in the book, the analysis, the scientific analysis that's been done. Now, I'm perfectly willing to say that there are people who have lied through their teeth about being abducted. I don't know what they gain except perhaps attention. And I think Michael and I would probably agree that some people make extraordinary claims for no good reason at all.
Or they think they were abducted. That's another possibility.
Well, look, there's probably a gray basket there, too. But again, when you have multiple witnesses, and I love how people bring up a sleep phenomena. Michael likes Susan Clancy's book, Why People Come to Believe They've Been Abducted. I wrote a very strong review of that on my website, which points out error after error after error after error. It was kind of sickening to see all the false, wrong, specific wrong information, despite claims that she'd read everything and seen everything. The sleep phenomena doesn't explain people driving in a car who get abducted. It doesn't explain walking on a beach and being abducted. That some people suffer from sleep paralysis, of course. So what? That's irrelevant to the question. In other words, you have to look at the data relevant to the problem at hand. Not the worst cases, the best cases. And sure, some people are allergic to penicillin. That doesn't mean you should never use penicillin. It means you got to be careful.
All right, Michael, your take on alien abductions.
Oh, I think they're all terrestrial. That is, I think they're psychological, social. If you look at the narratives of people that had experiences similar to this in the Middle Ages, they described them as incubi and succubi. This is the nightmares, the mare that haunts people in the middle of the night, coming through, sexually molesting them, and so on. 100 years ago, they described these very similar experiences as ghosts coming into the room or poltergeists. And today, our anomalous psychological experiences are described as aliens because we don't live in a demon-haunted world or a ghost-haunted world. We live in a world of Star Trek and Star Wars and SETI and UFOs and Roswell and all that. And so our culture essentially tells our brains how to interpret the unusual phenomenon that we experience, whether it's through hypnosis or through sleep deprivation or through any number of different ways. There isn't one causal vector for the alien abduction experience. There's many different ways people can have strange, anomalous psychological experiences. So when it comes down to the question of what's more likely, that we know most of them for sure. I don't think people make this stuff up, by the way. I don't think they're lying. I don't think they're making things up to sell books or anything like that. I think I've met a lot of the abductees. I think they have genuinely had an experience. The experience they've had is very real. The question is, what does it represent? So we know for sure lots of them represent sleep paralysis or hypnotic regression or whatever. What are the chances, what's more likely, that the rest are also under that umbrella of the causal net, and we just don't understand them yet or haven't looked into them carefully or don't have enough information, or that most of them are under that causal explanation, and aliens are also coming here and doing the exact same thing simultaneously and coincidentally? I think the more prudent explanation is that they're psychological and we just can't explain every single one of them.
That's broad brush treatment without looking at individual cases, which is what you have to do. Now, you mentioned hypnosis. Dr. Benjamin Simon, who worked with the Hills, demonstrated that medical hypnosis is a very good tool for helping people who've had traumatic events take place. Today we call it post-traumatic stress syndrome. I've seen the movie that he did for the Army, in which he treated shell shock war veterans. They didn't have the PTSD back then as a term. And it's a great way to get at what really happened, and the proof of it is the people get better. And so he was not biased pro-abduction. As a matter of fact, and that's one of the important points in the book Captured, is that it's clear he was trying to keep them away from an alien explanation. Well, Barney picked up Betty's dreams, and you talk about hypnotist bias. It's clear there that his bias was in the other direction. Now, none of the debunkers talk about that. I'm not saying there hasn't ever been bias on the part of a hypnotist. Of course there is. But there's a difference between parlor hypnotism and the kind of stuff that was used by Dr. Simon, a serious professional person. And yes, I did speak with him, and I did meet Betty and Barney. And one of the differences here between Michael and I've been to 20 archives. He makes general statements. I've talked to other abductees and to other abduction investigators who have spent an enormous amount of time and effort. Michael doesn't do that. He doesn't look at the relevant evidence. He's got the broad brush. Obviously, we have a simple explanation for this. Most of these are psychological problems. Look, that's like saying claims that there are tall people on the planet are foolish. I can prove to you 99% of the people around are less than 7 feet tall. Therefore, there is nobody who's tall, taller than that.
Wait, that's a categorical error. That's mixing up two. We're talking about completely different things with aliens and humans versus tall or short humans.
We're talking about dismissing data because it doesn't match your preconceived notions about what it should be. Your sparkling review of Susan's book is a good indication of that. You didn't mention any of the myriad of factual misstatements. You didn't want to see them. You didn't know enough about abductions and other literature about them to deal with it. Now, you know, at some point you got to crawl in with the data and see what's really going on instead of being satisfied with what debunkers say. There's a 10-page bibliography in Top Secret Magic. I include a whole bunch of debunking books. I also mention 10 PhD theses about UFOs. You mentioned one, David Jacobs. There are others. In other words, an incomplete examination of the data can lead one to go astray with one's conclusions. How's that? That's a polite way of saying that, I think.
I guess my response to that would be, Stan, once I've examined, say, a dozen or two dozen alien abduction cases, I've met the people, talked to them, read their narratives and accounts and so on, and I could really see what's really going on with it. They were regressed in hypnosis, which is not reliable. They had most of them woke up in the middle of the night, type of sleep experience. I don't need to read 250 more to see if maybe there's one nugget in there. It's pretty obvious what's going on. And
well, that's a big generalization, from a dozen to 250 more.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's
an extraordinary conclusion.